Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And if it is your first time joining us, then welcome. We are glad to have you. Today, we'll be talking about a topic that is frequently occurring, but rarely discussed. And that is how to break up with your therapist. Many times when we think about breakups, we think of something that is awful, that is dreaded, that is a big blow up. But breaking up with your therapist does not have to be that way. Now, there's lots of reasons when you would quote unquote break up with your therapist. And one of those ways could be what the mental health community calls terminating. And termination, or a mutual termination, is when both you and your therapist mutually decide that you have met your treatment goals and that treatment is no longer necessary. But there are times when things are just not working out and you have to terminate, aka in this episode, we're calling a breakup. So this episode is not for people who fall into the category of meeting their treatment goals and they're graduating out of therapy, as I like to call it. This episode is going to be more for people who really decide that they're not getting what they need from their current therapist, but they realize that they still do need therapy. So what do you do in those cases? Why is it even important that we even have a discussion about how to break up with your therapist? Well, as a psychologist who has had experience in this area, I really want to emphasize that although it is a professional relationship that you have with your therapist, it's still one that is very close. It's very personal because you, as the client or patient, are sharing some very deep and detailed information about your thoughts, feelings, actions, decisions, positions about things. And I've seen people really struggle in this area. The reality is this can be something that is very anxiety provoking. This is something that can be very sad to have to or need to break up with your therapist for various reasons. And if you're a person who doesn't like conflict, then you may approach this situation the same way that you do your relationships in your personal life. And you may avoid the situation altogether by just ghosting your therapist, which we will talk about. Or you may continue to go to therapy and just pretend that everything is okay and not speak your truth. Meanwhile, you're spending money and time in a situation that is not beneficial for you. So today what I want to do is to give you some considerations for breaking up with your therapist. And for each of those considerations, I will be giving you some sample statements or scripts that you can use if it's appropriate for your specific situation. So go ahead and grab a drink, pen and paper, or open your notes app, and we will jump right in. Because this is a Christian podcast, my first recommendation is to pray first. And the reason why this is important is because prayerfully, you prayed about starting the whole counseling process in the first place and maybe prayed about which therapist was right for you. Sometimes that may not have been the case for you if you're in a place where this was the only provider available to you, or this was the only provider that you could get without having to wait for weeks and months on a wait list, or if you're in a rural area, this may be your only option. So I am very mindful of that. But nevertheless, whatever your circumstances are that led you to your current therapist, I say pray first. Spend some time asking God to help you to discern the answers to the next questions that I'm getting ready to reveal to you. This way, it will help you to know Is this a me issue or is this a therapist issue? And exactly how do I approach it? So the first thing I encourage you to do is to pray. Once you do that, your heart and mind should be open to receiving the answer to this next question. And that is, what do I want to get from therapy that I am not getting? But in order to answer this question, you have to do a fair assessment. Am I not getting what I want out of therapy because of my own doing? And what do I mean by my own doing? Am I tardy for my appointments, whether they're in person or online? Do I frequently cancel? Do I prioritize other things? And so then I don't really prioritize therapy. And so I'm not really getting the benefit. Let's say if I'm supposed to go to weekly therapy sessions, I may go to maybe 2 or 3 every month. Do I have distractions during the session, such as my phone? Do I have frequent interruptions from other people if I'm actually doing it online? Am I defensive? Do I not want to talk about certain topics with my therapist? Do I approach therapy in a way that is guarded? Do I not do the homework between the sessions? Do I not think about what we've talked about in between the sessions? And I don't think about it until maybe the hour before or on my drive to my sessions or the night before, right? Those are all some things that will play a role in you actually getting the benefits that you should be getting out of therapy. And the reason why this is important is because it would be unfair for you to break up with your therapist and say that therapy isn't working or that they are not showing up for you if you are not completely showing up for yourself. Remember, this is your process. And so as you are reflecting on why you need to break up with your therapist and why you're not getting what you need to get from therapy, you really have to be honest to see if you are playing a role. Now, I do want to say this. I am not talking about perfection, right? So I don't want you to be hard on yourself if you've had to cancel a session or two. I'm not talking about perfection. What I am talking about is you truly knowing, and your therapist will know as well, that you are truly engaged. I very much know the difference between a patient of mine who has had to cancel a couple of sessions due to illness, due to family emergencies, or an unexpected mandatory meeting at work. If I look at that in isolation, then yeah, it might seem like, you know, they're not really committed. They don't really want to get better. But if I look at the context, you know what? This person shows up otherwise on time. They communicate with me as early as possible about their need to cancel or reschedule. They ask questions, they're engaged in the sessions, they do the homework, or they tell me about other things that they've thought about and they bring topics to the session. That's very different from a person who rarely shows up and I get the sense that they're not even truly invested or fully invested in the process. So after you've done a fair assessment of yourself and you realize, no, this is just really not working for me. I'm showing up. I really do think that this is my therapist. That is completely okay. Maybe you are not getting reliability from your own therapist. Maybe your therapist is tardy. Maybe your therapist is distracted. Maybe your therapist frequently cancels. Maybe your therapist doesn't seem genuinely interested. And so you absolutely deserve and need to have a therapeutic experience where your therapist is reliable, your therapist is genuine, your therapist is honest, your therapist creates an environment where you trust one another, that you feel safe, that you feel supported. So as you go through these and you realize, yeah, it's just something is missing, I want you to give yourself permission to be honest and consider this as an opportunity for you to practice your assertiveness skills, practice your conflict resolution skills, if it's appropriate to do so, by the way. Not every situation will be appropriate or you will even have the opportunity to have this discussion. Here's an example based on a common complaint I've received from new patients regarding their previous therapist. And that is, I expected my therapist to be more engaged, or I wanted somebody to not sit there and nod and agree with me. So an example script could be, I expected that you and I would have more of a dialogue, but it seems like what I'm getting is just me doing all the talking and you don't say very much. Or I expected that you would ask me questions about the things that I'm talking to you about, and it makes me feel alone in this process. And when you phrase it this way, it allows your therapist, hopefully they have talked to you about their approach, and so this could be a conversation that is revisited. But if not, worst case scenario, this would allow your therapist an opportunity to clarify his or her position. Because the way that your therapist shows up not only depends on their personality, but it also depends on their therapeutic approach. There are some therapeutic approaches that are more directive, that are more active in the session. And there are other therapeutic approaches where the therapist is laid back. They don't have very many interventions because the goal for them is to allow you to come to your own conclusions in a way that is less intrusive or less guided by the therapist. So the therapist in general just provides a nice, warm, inviting environment, but they don't say very much. Another example could be your therapist isn't that professional. So they're showing up late to their appointments, they're canceling your appointments. And so a sample script for this could be, when you show up late to our appointments without notifying me that you're going to be late, I feel triggered. I feel unimportant, and it decreases my trust in our relationship. It's hard for me to open up in this way. Let's say the reason you need to break up with your therapist is for financial reasons. A sample script for this could be, you know, I really regret having to stop this process before I wanted to, but my finances won't allow me to continue to make the investment. A statement like this could open up the door for further communication. Sometimes your therapist may have a reduced fee slot, or they may have information about foundations that provide funding for therapy, so you don't have to switch your therapist. Sometimes, worst case scenario, if they're not able to accommodate you financially in their practice, they may be able to give you a good referral for a more affordable option. What if the thing that you're not getting in therapy is unconditional positive regard, where you feel judged? A sample statement to your therapist could be, sometimes the way that you ask me questions, I feel blamed, or I feel shamed or interrogated. And it's hard for me to feel vulnerable when you do that. And then you can give an example. Here's one of the other big reasons that people break up with their therapist is because they just simply need a specialist. Everything is going okay, but overall, you believe that you need a specialist, someone with more experience working with your specific issue. Let's say your specific issue is severe panic attacks, right? So you would absolutely need someone who specializes in anxiety. Let's say you are an African-American female minister. So there's lots of layers in that identity. And so you may, through your experience, realize I need someone who addresses spirituality in therapy, and or someone who has experience working with the Black community, or more specifically, someone who is accustomed to working with women, Black women in the church. And so it's okay for you to tell your therapist that you think you may need a specialist in specific areas. Let's say you're part of the LGBT community and you find yourself thinking, I just don't think that my therapist truly understands my experience as a lesbian, or I don't think my therapist has the experience and education or knowledge about my particular community. Maybe I'm involved in a polyamorous relationship. And so it is okay for you to request a specialist. And as you are giving your rationale, I want to give you a bit of empowerment. Don't feel obligated to give your therapist a long, drawn out explanation, or feel like you have to educate your therapist on things like professionalism, educate your therapist on specific things about your community that you identify with. Yes, there will be certain things that you will have to educate your therapist about, but it's not your responsibility to educate your therapist on the entire community that you identify with. And so a sample script would say, you know, it feels like too much labor in therapy to educate you on this matter and still process my own distress. And so I'm thinking that I may need a specialist or someone who is more familiar working with my population. So you're going to do a fair assessment and ask what you're not getting from therapy. And then as you are giving feedback to your therapist, I also want you to consider giving balanced feedback. And part of that balanced feedback is to tell your therapist what worked well and what didn't work well. What did you learn? So something that you could say is, thank you for introducing me to therapy. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sitting with me at a time when I was in real emotional crisis. And through our work together, I learned XYZ. Or I can tell that I have improved in this area because now I XYZ. And through our work together, I realized that I still need to work on ABC. So you're not just showing up to your therapist and saying, hey, I'm done, we're done, and I'm moving on. Although you could certainly do that. But the more effective approach, if it's appropriate for the relationship and the situation, is to have a discussion that allows for balanced feedback. Because if you've built up a relationship, and sometimes I know that you may decide you need to break up after one or two sessions, but if you build up a relationship with your therapist will also likely have some feedback for you. They may have some questions for you. They may thank you for your feedback and really take your considerations to heart and implement your suggestions with future clients and patients. So I know that you might feel that you're there to learn, but we absolutely do learn a whole lot from you. So give that balanced feedback so that they'll know what they're doing well and what their growth edges are. And the last thing I'll say for your consideration is please don't ghost your therapist. There have been times when I've talked to people about starting services with me. One of the questions I ask is, have you done therapy before? Yes. How long ago has it been? About 3 or 4 months ago. Okay. So tell me about the circumstances surrounding your ending treatment with them. Well, just didn't kind of end. I just never went back. Did you have a discussion with your therapist about why you didn't go back? No. So in my mind, my light bulb automatically goes off. What happened? Was the therapist not available? Did the therapist decline to have a follow-up discussion? Or did you just absolutely ghost your therapist? And how do I know that you won't ghost me if things are not going well? So if at all possible, just like a personal relationship, you want to tie up any loose ends with your current therapist before you move on to your other therapist. Now, there can be a need for some overlap if you have certain mental health symptoms that require more frequent sessions or a more intense level of treatment. So I don't necessarily mean that you should break up with your therapist or end things with your current therapist and then have this long recovery period of a month or two before you start seeing another therapist. What I'm saying is at least let your therapist, your current therapist, know where you stand before moving on to your new therapist, or let your therapist know, would you be okay with me continuing to see you until I find someone who I believe is more suitable for me? A lot of times your therapist may actually be okay with that because we are required to help you with continuity of care as ethically as possible. Another consideration is as you are having this conversation or planning to have this conversation, you don't want to wait until the end of the session so that you only have like 1 or 2 minutes to talk about it. If this is appropriate, okay, my hope is that your therapist will not be defensive and that this will not turn into a shouting match or an argument or anything that makes you feel worse about your decision. You absolutely have the right to end the conversation in the session if that starts to happen. Overall, breaking up with your therapist is not the most comfortable conversation to have, but it can definitely be done effectively, and it can be something that is a growing opportunity for both you and your therapist. So let us move now into Dr. Q's Couch. This is a segment that we haven't done in a very long time. So I'm excited to answer a frequently asked question about breaking up with your therapist. In today's Dr. Q's Couch, a frequently asked question is, how do I break up with my therapist if I can't get a hold of them? This is a very good question because all of the considerations that I just gave you were based on you actually being able to have the opportunity to have a discussion with your therapist. But the reality is, there are people out there who cannot get a hold of their therapist. You've tried to call, you've tried to leave messages, or if your therapist allows you to text him or her, you've sent secured messages or text messages, and you just can't get a hold of them. Unfortunately, I have heard this happen more times than I wish that I had. And so here's my recommendation. If your therapist is hard to reach or they won't respond to your calls, I say it's appropriate to send an email. Your email can say something like this: Dear Dr. Johnson, I'm reaching out to communicate about our therapy work together. Since my last appointment on November 15th, I've contacted you 3 times to schedule my next appointment, but I've been unable to reach you and my calls and emails have not been returned. It is important for me to have consistency in my treatment in order for me to reach my goals. As such, I've taken an overall assessment of my treatment experience and I've decided to end my services with you and seek services with another provider. If you are open to it, I'd like to request recommendations on an additional therapist. Thank you for your time. So in this email example, I am doing a few things. I am letting my therapist know when my last appointment was. I've documented how many times I've tried to reach them and the method, right? Because I said I've been unable to reach you and my calls and emails have not been returned. So this will prompt the therapist to say or think, their last appointment was on November 15th and it's now, let's say, December 15th. Do I not have their correct contact information in my system? Maybe I didn't recognize the number. If someone is screening my calls or taking messages for me, then do I need to check in with my staff or front office person to see if there are any missed messages? Is anybody accidentally deleting emails? Have I accidentally deleted emails? Right? So this will prompt the therapist to see if there's any dropped balls on their end. This email is very direct, but it's not blaming. You're specifically stating what your needs are. It's important for me to have consistency in my treatment in order for me to reach my goals. And you've just simply stated, I've decided to end my services with you and seek services with another provider. And so keeping something like this for your records is very important. So that way, let's say your therapist doesn't even respond to this email and they randomly pop up 2 months later and say, hey, are you still interested in services? Then you can have this email for your reference to say, hey, I've moved on to a new therapist. I sent you an email on blah, blah date and I've terminated our relationship. Depending on other circumstances surrounding your relationship with this person, you can actually use this for your evidence if you feel like you need to file a complaint with the licensing board about their ethical conduct or misconduct. So I hope that this sample email is something that is helpful to you if you find yourself in a situation where, despite the considerations that I gave earlier, you're not able to actually have a verbal conversation with your therapist. So let us move now into a quick prayer time. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity to come together today to talk about a topic that is unfortunate but common in the quest to find a good therapist that will help us meet our emotional and mental wellness goals. I pray that every listener who encounters this unfortunate situation is able to use the considerations that I've shared today to be able to make the best transition to a new provider. Please give them the boldness and the courage that they need to be able to assert themselves. And please also allow their therapist the availability and the openness of mind and heart to receive the feedback that they need. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. That is all that I have for you today. Until next time, take care.